Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 122. We are back from a little break again. We do apologize, guys. I know we've been very slacky-lacky lately, but we've been doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes, which we're probably going to talk about a couple of them when we get done. But, of course, we do this all the time, me, myself, and I, with Kane himself and himself.
What's up, buddy?
How you doing, man?
How you doing? How you doing, man? We've been doing this for a while. Almost feels like we're a married couple.
But oh, yeah.
None of the perks, though.
Yeah, thank God.
Just the whining and the complaining and the fighting.
So we're like an old married couple. That's what
we're an old married couple. Yeah, we just because we're constantly bickering at each other.
So yeah, guys, we have been MIA for a couple of weeks now. But again, we are working on other shows. We've kind of doubled down and really like focused on the midnight movies. That's really taken off. So if you guys are ever interested in checking us out, we've been doing reviews there. We've been doing watch-alongs like we always have. But you know, in the last 6 months, we added reviews. And we've just been really focusing on that. Big month this month for Kane for the midnight movies is we're doing Batman. So we got a couple of animated Batman we're going to watch and review. We've got a couple of live action. So I mean, yeah, it's going to be fun there. I have been pre-producing and pre-gaming basically for another podcast I'm doing solo. It's a book review, so if anybody's interested in books, that is coming out. It's going to be called What the Hell Did I Just Read, or WTH. Did I just read?
When you sent me the artwork, I thought it was badass, by the way. I was like, because you had another title at the beginning, and I was like, eh. But then you sent me that one. I was like, you know what? That fits more in line.
Yeah, with that's more my sense of humor and my attitude. And then, of course,
this one is awesome.
Kane's got a Game of Thrones one getting ready to drop, which when he first started rolling it out, I've been bragging on him about it. But really, there's a lot of new news coming out with Game of Thrones. George R.R. Martin's talking supposedly again that the new book's going to be dropping at the end of this year, beginning next year, I think it is. So, yeah, I mean, he's got that with a friend of ours. So I make a few ghost appearances, I think is the best way to describe it. I pop in and then I pop out. I don't even think I get intro. I'm just there all of a sudden.
Yeah, you just appear out of thin air, man. You're like the faceless man, as you call yourself. If you guys, when you check it out, it's really – actually, I've been listening to it in preparation for the release. Me and Melissa have been listening to the episodes at night on Zoom sometimes. And we're sitting there and we're listening, like, my God, the things that we say, it's just.
So we are not just slacking off. We are doing some work behind the scenes. And of course, you know, Kane has been working still. That one, the other one, Low Blow and Chair Shots, it's still making a slow roll, had a hiccup at the beginning. And then he had to sort of regroup, but we are producing. That's definitely for sure.
That's a nice word, producing. Yes, we're producing lots of stuff, gathering ideas, gathering intel, and watching a lot of stuff, which has been coming out lately. I'm not sure if you watched What If yet.
I've been loving the hell out of What If,
man. And I guess you weren't too high on episode 3.
No, again, it's not that I hated it, but when I compare it to the first two, not as good as the first two, but still, it was fun. So it's not that I don't like it. Did like it, but when I compare it to the other ones, I'm like, it was not as good as the other ones.
I'll tell you what, I was the total opposite. I did not like the first one because I thought when you see something in the trailer so often, you know what's going to happen. You pretty much, you know, you have the shtick of what the story is going to be in that first episode. And that's probably my fault because I saw the trailers a lot. But like the second one, I loved the second. And the third one, I think, is my favorite so far because to me, it takes no spoilers, but it takes the Avengers initiative and it kind of flips it on its head and it makes sense.
Yeah.
To me. I mean, like the way they all, I'll give a little brief synopsis. Basically, it's somebody who takes the Avengers initiative, finds out what it is, and starts taking them out.
Yeah. Basically, before they form.
Or they form, the guy starts taking them out. When you find out who it is, it made all the sense in the world to me. I guess to you, you didn't really dig it, but
I liked it. Just comparing it to the other ones, I didn't think it stood up to the first two, to be honest, or the second one.
No, the second one to me is the best out of the three so far. And I because I like the third one a lot. If I had to put them in order, I would go second one, 3-2, 1-3.
Yeah.
That's my order. I mean, then again, you might flip yours. You might think, you know, one.
No, honestly, no. One was exactly what I expected because we've seen that in the comics. That was not a like, oh, wow, that's out of the ordinary. We had seen that one before. I mean, they went straight to the core of what if is, you know. And mm-hmm. We've talked about this before in past shows, and you and I just, you know, just in discussions. What if is what kept me in Marvel, you know, to even read Marvel. Again, I'm not a big Marvel guy. I'm a hardcore DC fan. I still will always follow them. I will put my toes into Marvel every once in a while when a story catches my, you know, my attention, like the most recent X-Men.
That's what I was just going to say. Like, you're not a big Marvel guy. I know, neither am I. I mean, I'll hint at a couple Marvel titles here and there, but other than that, I pretty much stay away from them because I think some of their stories are just, like, to me, ever since when the Ultimates came out, that to me was like the last decent run by Marvel, and everything after that to me has been just kind of hokey. But then again, like you said, with the multiverse and stuff, that's where I'm drawn back in. Anything with multiverses, I'm in. Marvel, and you know, they're using their multiverse now, and DC has been using them for a while now. So anything with multiverse stories, I'm on board 100%. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, but no, that's, yeah, I'm kind of the same. Yeah, like I said, there's certain things that just draw my attention. I'm like, oh, God, I really want to read that one. Or I'll pick one up. Like, I'll usually pick one up digitally and like, okay, that sounds like an interesting concept. Let me see how far that goes. Same thing with DC lately. It's like, I'm not grasping it as much as I used to like to do it. But, you know, nowadays, in the last, like, 3 months, that DC's really picked up my interest.
I have picked up an issue of Infinite Frontier, by the way. And I do like the fact where it's going, that's basically dealing with the aftermath of what happened in Death Metal. And it's dealing in a cool way, which you told me. I guess, you know, I believed you when you told me, but when I actually read it, I was like, oh, this is interesting. Like, there are people who remember what happened.
Yeah.
And that's what I think makes it cool, because most of the time when you have a catastrophic event in any kind of comics, what is the normal thing that happens, Mike? Everybody forgets.
Yeah, everybody gets amnesia.
Everybody gets amnesia. Like, oh, it's like a soap opera. You know, like Bobby Ewing in the shower. Hey, man, I was never dead. It's like stuff like that. Okay, we don't remember what happened, but I do.
Kids, that's a reference to Dallas. And ask your parents about Dallas.
My God, made me sound my age to mention Bobby Ewing on this.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mike.
Yeah,
it's okay. I didn't mean to cross screens with Dallas, but you know what I'm saying. The whole shtick thing with everybody forgets, but mm-hmm. this one actually people did remember.
Yeah, that's what I thought was really cool, too. I was like, man, wow. There's some people that do and some people that don't. Again, that builds that tension between just the regular everyday Joe characters, you know, the normal people. Like, hey, no, I know if something happened. The other people are like, you're crazy. It didn't happen.
Yeah, that never happened. What are you talking about?
And then I like the fact that they're kind of bleeding in other crossover events. Like, you know, I think the first book, not to spoil anything, it's been out long enough, so check it out. But we see that there's a Black Lantern, you know, the Black Lantern Corps is still kind of kicking around. And then we also know, like you said, it's, you know, dealing with the after effects of Metal. And there's just so many things just kind of blended in. It's like DC opened up their toy box and literally just went, hey, we're going to grab it. Every one of our little crossovers and dumping in, there's been a reference to Zero Hour. There's been a reference to Armageddon. I
believe they mentioned Zero. Like, wow, Zero Hour was a while ago, too. Yeah. Shit.
Zero Hour for me was like the live, the real time introduction to a multiverse storyline. Yes, you know, there was Infinite Crisis and all those. Those happened before I was reading, but Zero Hour was I was into comic books like hardcore at that time. Mm-hmm. And that was my first introduction to their multiverse and their crisis that they would do. You know, luckily they didn't name it Crisis, but you know, it, and then of course, you know, that's, you know, in turn with the death of Superman and then Parallax, and just, it was all just blended in beautifully, I thought.
No, it was pretty solid storyline, Zero Hour. I mean, the ones I got into were the ones after that, like Darkest Night and all that stuff. That was kind of cool. That event, hopefully one day they'll adapt that in some kind of live animation or something. But Zero Hour is pretty decent.
And I'm surprised they haven't tried to touch that one just yet. I know it's a kind of a tough one to do, and it's very sensitive.
Yeah, I mean, how would you do it though? Definitely, I think for a story like that, you got to go animated. I don't think you can do live
action. Well, yeah, just like you and I've been talking.
They haven't established the Green Lanterns enough yet live action to actually do that storyline. Yeah.
Well, like, but you and I were talking, or, you know, we were talking about, you know, them doing Metal. You know, a couple of nights ago, you and I were talking about Metal. You know, you're like, man, you really want to see Metal in the animated. And I was like, a couple of years. And what I thought they should do is they should do it in the style of like a Tales from the Crypt, you know, do an anthology storyline,
Yeah, well, you said that made a lot of sense. Like the Batman Who Laughs, basically the Crypt Keeper who introduces the world of metal, dude. I'll be on board with that. Like every story is about one of the metal Batman, kind of like an anthology type of thing.
Yeah.
That I'd be totally on board for. That'd be very
cool. So would I. I mean, that's the reason I like the idea. I was like, because that's the only thing I think that would make me want to watch a metal thing. It's because, again, I wasn't a fan of the book, of the series, actually, when they came out. I know you and I have talked about it. Well, I guess we haven't had a chance to talk about it, but the season finally ended for season one, Superman and Lois. Man, what'd you think?
Well, to the dismay of some people on our page, I will say I will stand by the comments I made 2 months ago. It is the best comic book series on TV this year. Better than WandaVision, better than Falcon and Winter Soldier, better than Loki, better than What If. What else do we have this year? We have the other seasons of Batwoman and Flash.
Yeah, you had all the Arrowverse.
All the Arrowverse shows, which I think are all taking a step down, except for even Legends this year is going down a dip. But to me, it's been the best show this year. I've been hooked since episode one.
Yeah.
And I am not a Superman fan, as everybody has known for 3 years. I'm not. But I respect the dude more since I've known Mike, because he's introed me to stories and stuff like that. You actually see what a character is. And to me, this show, through 13 or 15 episodes that it had, it gave Superman something I thought you couldn't give him, which is, first of all, invulnerability, a family aspect, and it's still a Superman story at the same time. Which I dug, and they made all the characters, even the kids at the beginning were like, oh man, yeah, two teenagers, it's gonna be CW. And it wasn't. Because even they were growing, like, throughout the year. You could see where Jonathan Kent, instead of the comic version of Jonathan Kent, he's more going to, like, his granddad's side. I think that's where it's leaning towards, more technology. And Jordan's going to lean more to that, you know, his dad's side, which is more trying to be, like, the last son of Krypton.
Well, yeah, I definitely saw Jonathan being more like Lois in that, you know, that aspect. Remember when I think it was mid-season where he breaks into – or they get a hold of John Iron's RV. Mm-hmm. And he gets trapped in there because he's trying to find things out. I saw Lois in him that, you know, I was like, oh, that's where she is in him now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even that in their fight, when they were yelling at each other, she sees her in him. That's mm-hmm. what it is. They're very much alike. And Jordan's more like his dad. You can tell that he's very,
I made the comment to you the other day about it. I was like, I think, you know, Tyler is my favorite Superman right now, as much as I'm a huge fan of Henry. I think what he did on the big screen was amazing. I know that there's a lot of folks that disagree with it, but you may disagree with the story and the things that happened, but he himself was a great Superman. But Tyler encompasses everything about Superman because he encompasses the Clark aspect and Superman, and he adds something more to it with the family element. And I just... it was great. I thought it was great. They tiptoed their little toes into the past of Superman, some of the history, some of the little deep cut and comments and Easter eggs I thought were amazing. And didn't feel like an Arrow show, but it was in the Arrowverse because we did see John Diggle at one point. You know, we did have references. I think the last episode they brought out a gun that was used in Supergirl. Mm-hmm. And they just made these great references and tied it in, saying, yes, we are still part of that. But it just did not feel anything CW at the least. No. And I thought it was a great show. And I just can't wait. Honestly, at the end, I was like, man, if they didn't ever do another episode or another season, I would be happy. This is a great gift. But I can't wait to see where they go. The only thing thing I was upset about was the last minute of the last episode. I was like, no.
Basically, without spoiling it, like, you basically had a point where John Henry Irons was going to be he's close to being that Steel character that I wanted him to be. Like, there's going to be a moment probably next year or a couple seasons that he'll get that S on that suit. But then the ending, to me, you're rewinding John Henry Irons again.
Yeah.
He just got over this certain thing. You got him on board Team Superman, and now you're basically – you ruined all that stuff in like the last
Yeah, you went, yeah, you went backwards. He all this construction and building up and growth of the character, it got just knocked down within 1 minute. I'm like, oh, just took the wind out of it. I was, and it was one of those shows that I think you made the comment, you were watching Mandalorian, and you made the comment, you're like, man, they can take 40 minutes and make it feel like it's an hour long show. That I had to check at the time when I was watching the last episode. I'm like, how long is this freaking? And it was just because there was so much in it, so much information, and it was so jam-packed. It felt so long.
They find a way to make like literally 2 hours worth of story into 45 minutes, and they do it pretty seamlessly. Like, there'll be some episodes where they go from Smallville back to Metropolis, and it really won't miss a beat. I'm like, okay, well, this is fine. We're there. And like you said, they basically, this show just epitomizes to me what Superman is. And I think Tyler has had enough time to play the character. He's actually played the character longer than Henry Cavill, as far as if you want to go hour-wise.
Yeah, like, if you do, yeah.
If you do the math. So he's had time. Like, the first time I saw him on the episode of Supergirl, I was like, okay, they're going to introduce Superman. They're going to ruin him. And I saw the actor. I'm like, okay, let's see. And like, the first thing I thought about when I saw him, I was like, oh, he's Christopher Reeve. And Henry Cavill almost kind of morphed together. But now, basically, he's not those. He's Tyler Hoechlin.
Yeah, he's his own Superman, which I think is great.
I dug it. And hopefully he gets to meet more of the DC universe. I doubt it. But
I hope. Yeah, I hope.
I really hope he shows up on Flash, as long as that show is going to be. He's not even going to be in the crossover for Flash this year, which is kind of nuts. But they have everybody else in this Flash crossover. Except,
yeah, what did you think about them doing Armageddon?
I mean, I could have done without a crossover, to be honest.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I didn't really, and especially, like, it's not going to be stretched around around each show. It's five episodes of The Flash. So I'm like, okay, so we're not going to waste production value on different shows now. It's fine. But the characters, they chose to be in it, and, like, I don't know. I could have done without it, you know?
Dang, what's the dang? What are we doing? We cooking over there?
Yeah, sorry. It's a ding ding.
But yeah, no, I was like, really, Armageddon? Because I got to be honest, Armageddon was one of the last things I read when I was reading comics at the time. I was like, that's one of the things. I can't say that it turned me away from, but the crossover and everything just wasn't that interesting. It didn't hold my attention for me at the time. You know, at the time, I was younger and had, you know, I just become father. So I was spending a lot more time doing other things, but that was the one thing that sort of like pulled me away from comic books. I was like, this isn't really grabbing me. And again, we'll go back to, like I mentioned, Zero Hour. It was one of their crossover, big crossover events. And I was like, it doesn't grab me like Zero Hour did.
Mm.
But again, maybe it might have just been kind of what I told you about the original Thrawn trilogy. You know, I think back in the day, we romanticize and think back of how great these things were because of where we were in our lives and everything else. And I think I sometimes romanticize, you know, the Zero Hour thing because it's like, yeah, it was this great thing. I was where I was in my life. I was out in LA. I was going to music school. I was living on my own for the first time, you know, and it was, I had a comic book store music store combo that I would go to, you know, it was just like, there was something special about those moments and picking up those books. So, you know, and I think that's kind of, you know, when you look back at certain things, like I said, you know, when I'm in the middle of going back and reading Timothy Zahn, the Thrawn trilogy.
God bless you.
Yeah. Sorry. I had to, the Zahn and the Thrawns were throwing me all into a twist, but yeah, it's like, you know, I just read the first book. I am going to finish the second and the third one, rereading them. But yeah, it's the first one just didn't grab me like I remembered it grabbing me. And I think it's just that romanticizing of our youth. That I'm going to try to go back and read some older books too that I haven't read in a while and see if they still hit me.
So they hold up?
Yeah. Well, I'm in the middle of rereading. I told you the other day, I'm almost done actually. I think I've got two more hours, I think, reading left on it for the Wheel of Time. You know, we got the Amazon Prime show coming out, and I've read Wheel of Time, at least the first couple of books. I haven't done the 14-book series, and I don't think I will.
That's a long.
I was talking to somebody that actually literally picked it up and read them in order, and they said it took them about like a year, just a little over a year to read all 14 books. But they took breaks in the middle. You know, they had to kind of clean the palate. And, you know, it's going back and reading that's one of those magical books. It's like, man, that I still feel the way I did when I first read it.
Mm.
So that's, you know, those are stories that are out there. Titans. Titans has come out since and they're starting they're in the middle right now of the Red Hood series. How are you feeling on those? I know we're talking about my Superman. We're talking about, you know, the Dark Knight world now.
I'll tell you what. I like the Red Hood story they're doing as far as the Titans version goes, because it adds a little bit from the comic. You know, they added some parts with the Lazarus Pit, which is kind of cool. The reason he became the Red Hood is fine. I get that's fine with the whole fear stuff. That's cool. I dug that. It's just the whole character of the Scarecrow I don't like. I think he just, if you had somebody else, what did you call him? Pusher Man?
The Pusher Man, yeah. He's just, like, hey, take this drug, man. Take it. Why don't you hit it?
Literally, you could make up a character that's manipulating him and causing him to be the Red Hood instead of Jonathan Crane. Like
that's why I said call him the Pusher Man, because I don't think there's a character named that.
Call the Pusher Man or whatever. Like, that's fine. Pusher Man's good. Like I said, I would. Okay, he's a weirdo. He danced around to Iron Butterfly. Fine. But when you add that Jonathan Crane and you see that creepy Scarecrow mask, which I was like, oh my god.
Oh yeah, so when he opened up instead of Batman having a museum type, you know, of all of his trophies, he has a cabinet. And yeah, that was probably some of the coolest stuff I've seen on that show.
And because when you see that mask, like, oh my god, that's a fucking Scarecrow mask. Excuse me. And then you see what the Scarecrow is. It's like, wait a minute, that dude wore the mask? Oh man, it just kind of took me out of it. Like, him is, he doesn't belong there. Just like you said, Pusher Man. Yeah. Just change the name to Pusher Man, and I'm fine. But everything else with the Red Hood, like the guy, like it was a Kerwin Walters playing Jason Todd. He's killing it, dude.
Yeah,
that's the Jason Todd that I remember from the comics. Very upstart, almost kind of whiny, but always wants to, like, you know, oh, I want to do this. A very headstrong too. And of course, if he's going to be pushed to a certain moment dealing with Batman all his life, that he's, oh, I'm afraid of this, but he's not. He wants to prove that he's almost like Batman. And I think that's what happens, and that he gets pushed over that edge with this fear drug that actually makes him not have fear to become the Red Hood. I was fine with it.
Yeah, me too. It was. Yeah, I thought it was great. And I don't do this often, but I was wrong. They somehow used the Joker and brought in the Lazarus Pit, because that was one thing I said when they announced it last year during the DC. What's the DC function? Oh, God.
DC fandom?
Yeah, thank you. DC fandom. When they, you know, announced that, I was like, how are they going to do that and introduce Ra's al Ghul and have the Lazarus Pit and have Joker? You got to introduce, and so, they did it. You know, they did. It was a great, great way of bringing in Joker, not seeing him. Yes, I love the fact we never saw him. We saw like a silhouette of him and an outline of him. When the Lazarus Pit is introduced, it was the perfect Easter egg and little nod that, hey, Ra's left us a little present, you know, and that's basically it.
Yeah, the reasoning behind it was cool too. Say, like, hey, Ra's left one of these pits behind. And the cool thing, going back to that locker that they go inside the Batcave.
Yeah.
Like, when I saw Ra's al Ghul's sword in there, I was like, oh my god, that's like, it just shows the world.
Yeah, well, actually, honestly, I got more excited about the ventriloquist dummy.
Oh, the
beginning. Yeah, yeah, when I saw, I was like, oh my, and he looked perfect. He looked creepy and evil and everything. I wanted to see that live. And I was like, we need an episode of those, of how those became.
I agree. I would love to see fucking an episode with a ventriloquist, or add like Man Bat in there. I'm surprised there's no Man Bat, but maybe they'll get to that soon. That's one they haven't even used yet.
Well, again, we're looking at, I'll say it again, like I always do. This is Titans. This isn't, you know, we got to look at the Titan villains that they're dealing with. So, yeah, we've got to go with that. Now, I love the fact we're seeing Darkstar. I love to see that storyline and see that grow. I thought that was a really cool storyline to follow that. And I think we're missing so far, and I didn't realize that. I think you told me about it last night, that this is a longer season than normal.
13 episodes.
Yeah, I think. Well, I thought they were normally 8, but we haven't caught up with Raven and Diana yet. So we're kind of
wondering. No, not yet. That's going to be pretty soon. We're at episode 5. So we should be getting them pretty.
Well, I think we're going to wrap up the Red Hood storyline, I think, here within the next episode or two. And then I think that's when we're going to drift over and see them. Because I thought there was another villain that they had mentioned that was going to be on here as well.
Besides Blackfire, was it somebody else?
I thought there was. I knew there was Scarecrow, there was Blackfire, Red Hood, obviously, and then I thought there was another villain that they had mentioned last year. And
I don't remember. I have to look back at the.
Because we know. I mean, they can leak it out and tell us who they are, but we do know that even though we have social media all over the place, secrets can happen and nobody knows about them. You know, like you look back at the Mandalorian when Luke showed up, nobody. Nobody leaked that. That was, that. And that was, you know, if anybody's gotten a chance, watch Gallery on Disney Plus. It's a behind the scenes of the making of Mandalorian. I think they're going to use the show to do kind of behind the scenes of other things, but it's primarily Mandalorian. They did the first season, which I thought was great. They did an episode by episode. Season two, they only did two episodes, unfortunately, which I thought was kind of lame. And I think the first one was just the beginning of the show and how they rolled it over to the second season. And then the last episode of the most recent one that came out a couple of weeks ago talks about that show, the finale. Okay. Yeah, and they talk about who they got, how they got people in, how Mark Hamill was actually on set for certain things, but there was a body double who this guy could be Mark's son. The way this kid looks, yeah, he's got the same build, same facial, you know, structure, everything. And then they explained how they did it. They took all this old footage of Mark and plugged it into they used deep fake. The program deep fake. They looked at a whole bunch of different programs and they were like, well, let's test out deep fake and see how it does. Mm-hmm. And they put it through its trials and everything. And that's what they used was deep fake. And the same thing, the voice wasn't even Mark Hamill. It was Mark Hamill, but it wasn't him now. It was them taking audio from all of his stuff he's ever done.
And just remixing it.
And just making it, yeah. And so it was actually, because when I remember watching it, I'm like, man, he just
doesn't sound like
it just doesn't sound like there's heart behind what he's saying. It was very dry and like
very wooden, right? Like almost.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, very wooden. Yeah, but it was kind of cool, you know. And they talk about, you know, they weren't going to do it. They went so far. Disney went so far, and they did storyboards and story arc. And they when they sent out the script and everything, that was supposed to be Plo Koon.
Which would have been cool too.
Yeah, that would have been cool. But they're like, that's what they did. They like, okay, we're gonna put this out. They made artwork. They did like full drafting, colored arts, you know, to show the scenes and sets and everything, and with Plo Koon in it. They even for one of their dailies put a digital face of Plo Koon over the guy that was playing, so that way they could really trick it. And literally, what they did is the day they did the shooting out in the desert, the massive cool ass battle scene. Out in the desert in Mandalorian when the Razor Crest gets blown up and everything. Mm. When the crew's out there, they had 7 to 8 people, I think they said, filming just with Mark. So that way the people that were there were it.
Off. Yeah.
Yeah. So they had the main crew over there. They had a smaller crew with like the really well, you know, folks that they knew. But even then they're like, it's going to leak out. They were surprised it didn't leak out until that show.
It didn't leak out at all. I don't think any of the cast members mentioned it at all. It was no spoilers. Like when it happened, I was like, no. I think when I first saw that episode and I saw the X-Wing fly, I'm like, it could be anybody's X-Wing. And then when I saw the green lightsaber, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No. No.
But they even let it Mark Hamill say yes or no. They went to him. And brought him the script, brought out Grogu, little Grogu, you know, puppet with him, brought out the costume and the lightsaber and everything. And they said they sat there for a couple of hours with Mark's wife at their ranch, at their home. Mm-hmm. And Mark went off into the room and basically they were saying if Mark came out and said no, that they would change it to Plo Koon. Mm-hmm. He had the final say of whether this would be Luke or not. And when he came out, he's like, "No, how are you guys going to do that? I mean, it's me younger. You know, I can't do that. I know what I can do and I can't do that." Mm-hmm. And, you know, they kind of explained what they were going to do and everything. And he's like, I can't say no. He's like, me being cast in as long and the life that this character has created and has started, it's my responsibility to make sure it carries on, even if I'm not it. You know, and I was like, he understands the character and understands the fan base.
Yeah, just give a call to Sebastian Stan, man.
Yeah, again, yeah, that's something you and I have always talked about. Like,
Sebastian's it. Like, young Luke or Luke Skywalker, the Jedi years, or after the Jedi years. There you go, Disney Plus, make it happen. 8 episodes. Not going to happen.
No. Well, no, they're talking. There is talk of a Luke's show coming out.
Hey, dude.
And I'd be like, what?
I'd be down for it. I mean, I know we say we don't want to go back to the past, but, you know, if you think about it, you know, I don't want to compare anything to the Judas Christ, but the Jesus years, After he,
the lost Luke years, basically.
The lost Luke years, man. You can do that. Like, what happened between after Jedi and then when we meet him in Force Awakens at the end, where he's like a
rubber. Yeah, and hopefully, if they do that, we get to see the temple, see the students, see a young Kylo, see a Kyle Katan, being trained in the background. Just like some really cool shit that I know me as a Legends fan before, Disney bought it up. I'm still, I enjoy both of them. So I'm not one of those that it's like Legends is end all be all it. I think what they're doing on the Disney side is interesting too. But yeah, I think that would be really cool. Now they did release this week. Also, they released the schedule for next year.
Can 2022 get here?
Yeah, I know they've got, Boba, which will be coming out in December. That's going to be 8 episodes on that. 12 episodes for Cassian Andor. I think they're just calling
That is a lot. I mean, no offense, but damn. Like,
well, that's a big story to tell because there's not much on him.
I guess. I mean, I'm just saying we're – whatever. 12 episodes.
I'll 12 episodes, and we're going to get another 16. Actually, 16 this time for The Bad Batch Season 2, which is coming out, which I cannot wait. I know you're still not on that bandwagon yet, but we'll get you there.
I haven't said a word.
We'll get you there.
I thought you were going to pass over to Bad Batch.
No, I know. Until you watch it. I told you, until you watch it, I'm just going to keep poking. We have 6 episodes of Obi-Wan Kenobi. So that's, there's 6 there. There's going to be a TV movie, Lego Star Wars Special, another one. I don't know if it's going to be another Christmas one.
Those are always fun. The new one that was released last year, the Christmas Special, was actually kind of cool.
Great, yeah.
I thought it was great because it incorporated everything of Star Wars, so I'm on board with anything.
Then we have The Mandalorian Season 3, which will be 8 episodes. And then that Disney Gallery show I was talking about, they've got 4 episodes of that planned. So I have a feeling they're not going to be just Mandalorian. I think they're going to cover like Obi-Wan and Andor and Boba. I think that's going to be, I bet you each episode is going to be based off of one of the shows. Now, the last thing I had heard, and I think you mentioned this or asked me this last night, was about Mando, or somebody mentioned it to me. Like, Mando, is this the last season? I haven't seen anything official yet, but that kind of...
I was some kind of little news flash that came on my board. I was like, it's this Mandalorian ending after Season 3. I'm like, really? One of the hottest shows in, the planet, and you're going to end it? Like,
yeah. I'm on the fence with that. I like the concept of knowing I have a beginning and an end, and we've talked about it numerous times, like Battlestar Galactica. It knew, this is my end. This is my beginning. This is my end. We just have to fill in the middle. That I get. I don't think they've thought that far with Mando. I mean, unless Filoni and Favreau were both like, we did have a plan that we wanted these stories to happen. They did the Grogu arc. Now, what's he going to do? Is the Season 3 just going to be just another traveling one? Or I hope not. I would at least hope for at least 2 seasons or 2 more seasons. 3 and a 4. At least
2. Like, I think pulling the trigger on a 3rd season, already, I think he still has stuff to do. Plus, he told Grogu he's going to come back and see him. And Mark Hamill has apparently been on set for Mandalorian Season 3, so Luke is going to come back in some way for short form. So,
we'll see what happens on that one. But it is interesting. I mean, it's probably one of the cushiest jobs for him because he's not it every time in Mando suit. There are 2 other actors that do it. He's the voice of Mando. But there's 2 other actors. There's one that does the fight scenes, and then there's one that does more, just...
So I wonder, is he on set at all?
He is on set, but he's not on all... He's not there all the time. They have, again, like I said, they have the fighter.
That's a badass job.
Then. Yeah. Because, I mean, literally, the 2 guys could do everything, and he can just go in there and do the... That's all he needs. So, I mean, but it works, and it's great to see. And I think that's really great to have, is to have multiple actors playing one individual character, because that gives that character so much more depth and things that he could do. Like, he may not, Pedro may not be able to fight like that, but you got this great fighter who can slide into the, into the armor, and be it. I think it's great to, be able to do that, but they can get away with it, when he's in a mask.
Yeah, definitely. Most definitely. I had a discussion with someone, and since we're on that subject of Mandalorian-esque characters, and since with the release of the Mandalorian last couple of years, we've gotten to see, what's his name? Qui-Gon Jinn. That's the Jedi. What's Mando's name?
Oh, Din Djarin. Din Djarin.
Din Djarin, whatever. Din Djarin, we've seen his story pulled off for the last 2 seasons. And now I have people, especially younger people or people my age, that basically say like, oh, well, I know more about the Mandalorian than I do Boba Fett. I'm like, well, that's kind of accurate. There's been more stories of the Mandalorian. I guess that's hence why they released the Book of Boba Fett, because Boba Fett was one of those characters in the past. You just shadow in the corner.
Not really, though. If you include Clone Wars and Rebels, we got a good chunk of him growing up. Mm-hmm. In Clone Wars, we see that he gets tied in with Chet, just drew a blank on his name. God damn it. The Clint Eastwood villain, the bounty hunter.
Oh, Cad Bane.
Yeah, right? Cad Bane. Yeah, he gets tied in with Cad Bane in Clone Wars. He gets tied in. I think he's still tied in, and he's working with Bosk in Rebels, and we see him older, that he's wanting to get after the Jedi. There's a revenge. So we have seen a backstory to him in ways. And again, we can kind of make those comments like you did before, the lost years. We don't have those years from teen Boba to Empire Boba. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's where I think the Book of Boba is going to fill that in. But yeah, there is stuff out there. Again, you got to probably realize some of these guys aren't watching, and we have friends that are that way. They don't like the animated because they feel it's for kids. But yet there's these great background stories that explain these characters.
The Mortis trilogy, one of my favorite ones from Clone Wars. That was fantastic. That Star Wars, one of its best storytellings. I love that series. I mean, if you haven't watched that, watch the whole Mortis trilogy. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh man, it's not kiddie, because it's not kiddie.
No, yeah,
that's not kiddie. It's dark.
Yeah, and no, honestly, if you look at, if folks really want to delve into the legends, again, this is people that probably wanted to be fed to them via a television or a movie sitting, screen. But if you go back to the legends books, there are Boba books. So there is a history to Boba. They just, it's how much research do you really want to do to be interested in a character? And it really is what it comes down to. And again, so, like I was saying, we do have some of our friends that aren't anymore, which I'm very proud of, if it didn't happen in the big screen, doesn't count. All that other crap, that's fan fiction. That's kind of what somebody said. Now that person that is branching out, they're getting into it. And I think the funniest thing I think that got him into it was the mobile game, the Star Wars fighting game.
Oh, that fighting game, yeah.
Yeah, because you get a new character and it kind of gets you a bio of the character. And we were able to, I think it was when we were doing the watch-alongs for the Midnight Movies, when we were doing the watch-alongs for Star Wars, Steve was our friend that we were talking about. He was able to talk to us more about this stuff because of that game, which got him into being interested in getting more into it. And then, of course, when Mando came out, just like everybody else, everybody was like, oh my God, what is this? This is expanded universe. That's amazing. And, he joined on board with it then.
Yeah, because it felt like Star Wars. But yeah, that mobile game got him into it and then actually kind of progressed him to the Mandalorian, which is kind of crazy. And now he's all about
that expanded universe. I don't know if I don't think he's delved into Clone Wars or Rebels yet, but we've said it before with Clone Wars, you just got to get past the first season. Yeah.
First season and a half. Like, the first season is, it's like middle of season two, it starts to get really good. That's my advice. But you got to grim and bear it. Mm-hmm. You have to get through season one.
Yeah, because I feel bad, I never even got a chance to talk to him about the season two when Ahsoka came in. He doesn't know who Ahsoka is.
Nope.
That whole backstory of who she is and why is she so important. I mean, imagine somebody watching that for the first time and not knowing a thing about her. I mean, who is this? But to us, we know that that's Darth Vader's apprentice. That's his first apprentice. That's technically their child. Yes, Luke and Leia are, Padme and Anakin's kids, but Ahsoka was really their child. Yeah, they're,
Honors is like it's literally raised, and then what happens afterwards, and when they meet up again, it's so, God, that meet up again in Rebels is so
heartbreaking. Oh my God.
It's heartbreaking, man. Like, you see in that moment with the mask. Oh, forget it.
Ugh. And then you look at like Clone Wars and Rebels where you get the expanded and the building of Maul, and that's when you see, the real true character of Maul. Cause really you look at Maul, he said what, all of like four words, I think. And,
yes, master. that's all he said.
And then, but you see the construction of this character, and then the importance of the character later on, and you find out in Rebels, he and Obi-Wan aren't that different. They're after the same thing. It's just how they went about doing it. And it's like, you know, just heart-wrenching when you actually – that's another heart-wrenching moment, you know, at that moment where in that episode. I'm not going to spoil it, but there's a moment where Obi-Wan and Maul actually have this connection, you know, and it's like, you know, or are we doing the right thing? Are we protecting the right people? It was just one of those great moments. You're like, oh, Jigger God.
They have a lot of great moments in Clone Wars. And when you see them again in Rebels, which is – the last moment, which is another good one. People bitched about that moment. I was like, dude, it was perfect.
Yeah.
What did you expect?
Yeah.
Did you expect like flips?
Yep. Yeah. That was how it ended, the way it ended, and just the story. And like I said, it grew and built, you know, Maul into this amazing character that beforehand he was just this dark shadow.
Yeah.
You know,
and when he showed up, Solo, spoilers, he shows up in Solo.
Again, you have people saw him in spoilers. In Solo, actually, our friend that we went with, Steven, he's like, what the fuck's he doing there? Oh, well, you got all these 5 years of movie or shows you got to watch before we can talk to you about this, because there's a lot going on here, dude.
Yeah, you got some watching to do,
sir. I guess, I mean, we've kind of been avoiding it, but let's talk about it. Spider-Man, man. Which I don't know if you and I actually sat down and have made comments about this yet.
I don't think we did. I think we just
were like, it's there, and we'll talk about it eventually. So
yeah, it was kind of like, yeah, okay.
So what'd you think about the trailer?
I liked the trailer. Alludes to a lot of things that are out there. I think I mentioned a couple things that could be there. I mean, we saw what could be a Green Goblin pumpkin little bomb there. We saw what could be Electro in there, probably in his comic accurate, costume, not the blue one that he had in the Amazing Spider-Man, but that's the Ultimates version, but like the OG one with the weird star head, which I hope he gets. You saw some sand. We could be some Sandman there. Then we see Doc Ock. That was cool. Seeing Alfred Molina back, probably digitally. I think I'm with you. His face was probably like digitally.
It's the more I watch it, I'm like, that just doesn't look like him. And I know he's aged, and I mean, but we all age, so I'm not saying anything bad about it. But
I dug it, man. I dug it. I like the whole theory that you know, is that Doctor Strange in the trailer, or it's not Doctor Strange? Who is it? That's kind of cool because Doctor Strange does, you know, no pun intended, he does act a little strange in this trailer. Doesn't act Doctor Strange that we know of.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah, there were certain things about him, the way he looked, the way he acted, certain things he said. Yeah, there's just a lot of that about Doctor Strange. And again, the Mephisto train has caught in some steam again. And
yeah, the Mephisto train is back on track, ladies and gentlemen. And guess what? I'm not the conductor this time. I'm actually sitting in the passenger seat this time. Like, you know what, you guys?
There's a lot out there. And guess what? If it is Mephisto, they're all going to be like, oh, we were right. Yeah, you've been saying that. I'm going to steal a line from one of our friends. If a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. So if you're going to keep saying Mephisto over and over again, and eventually it's going to be Mephisto. Hey, look, I was right finally. Okay, yeah, that's fine. But
it's like, well, you're 30 years old, Mephisto. And then he finally shows up. Yes, I told you. Dude, it was 30 years ago. We're all dead. Come on. You've been saying that for a long time.
Yeah, there's a group out there of podcasters and YouTubers and Twitter guys that are like, oh yeah, no, I've been saying this for like I know, you finally got it. They finally caught up to what you've been saying. So, but yeah, I don't know. Everything looked weird about how he was acting and things he was doing. But I mean, I'm excited for it. Spider-Man fan. Again, we still don't know if the other Spider-Men will be there, but really, it makes kind of sense, and I understand. We're not going to see it. This is just the teaser. This wasn't even.
They're not going to show them in the trailers. No way.
Yeah.
You won't see them to the film. There's no way they're going to show them in any kind of like.
They may hint. Again, this was just the teaser. This wasn't even like the real, like full trailer. This was a teaser trailer just to kind of like get you. You
think maybe the next trailer, which probably will be the first official trailer, that we're going to see that we'll see some Garfield Toby action?
I think so. I think we're going to see something. A lot of folks are saying, like, when you see Doc Ock and he says, hi, Peter. They think a lot of folks are saying, well, he's actually looking at Toby. Yeah. So, we'll see where we go. And it's just interesting to see what the storyline is going to be. There is a lot of the storyline that you see is, what was it? Something Day. I can't remember the name of the Bad Day.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Stan looked at that comic a lot. I'm like,
well, yeah. Cause that one scene where you see Peter and Dr. Strange, like changing things, that was literally ripped almost panel for panel from that addition, to where he's like, he wanted Mary Jane to forget about who he was. I'm trying to remember the story arc.
Wasn't it that Mary Jane was dead and it was trying to bring her back, but like in doing so that Aunt May died or something?
No, actually, I think I'm going to probably guess on this, but I think it was that he was trying to forget Mary Jane. I think he was trying to erase her memory from him. And I think that's what the story was, if I remember correctly. But yeah, so many different things I know that they're, you know, going to be touching on. Again, of course, into the Multiverse of Madness, it's going to be connected. So I got a feeling that we're going to see a lot of Easter eggs and a lot of folks, not just from the Spider-Verse. I think we might see some other Marvel-esque characters that are in it.
Well, when you're dealing with the multiverse, you'll see some characters.
Yeah.
Trust me. I mean, and then that's going to bleed into Doctor Strange, I think.
Well, definitely, yeah, because my understanding is Doctor Strange will actually be the introduction to the first X-Men. From the last thing I had read, I read it from a couple of sources, was that Doctor Strange would be our first introduction to one of the
X-Men.
Yeah, and of course, you know, if you know Doctor Strange and the history in Marvel, he's connected with the Illuminati, and the only one I could think of would be Charles. But who else? It would be the best one to introducing the
mutants. People would be like, "Oh, what about Wolverine?" I go, "Nah, I don't want Wolverine, dude. I want somebody. I want like if I'm gonna get a new Professor X, do Professor X. And do old Professor X too. I don't want no young Professor X."
Well, we talked. I mean, you were telling me about it. You saw that that we have
Giancarlo Esposito. Yeah,
Esposito being cast, and I'm kind of on the fence with that.
You know what? Thing about this, it depends who's Magneto.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Like the Magneto and Professor X's that we've gotten have both complemented each other. I could believe.
I could see him more Magneto, honestly, than
Professor. Yeah, me too. They should flip it.
Yeah,
make him Magneto, and then bring somebody else in as Professor X. But then again, you got to find that happy balance. I don't know. I mean, yeah.
Because of the day and age, I think somebody from I know he's not, but somebody more from like Middle Eastern would be a better Magneto, because of like if you look at our day and age and our history and every conflicts and stuff. Yeah, he can't be, you know, a Jewish, you know, concentration camp, you know, recovery, because he's going to be 90.
Change in that X-Men story that you were reading?
No. His origins were the same. You got to realize that in that X-Men story, all the origins were the same. It's just that there was a moment that they all had clarity and like, no, we need to work together, not separate. But they all still had that kind of evil side to them, like. You know, Mr. Sinister was still a little messed up, you know, and he was doing certain things, and Magneto was there, but there was a moment. What that storyline was is there was a moment in history when Moira MacTaggert reached out to each one of these main characters and showed them the future, and what if they didn't work together, this is the future you're going to have. And so basically it was her moment that she changed everybody's outlook, because apparently in that storyline, Moira was constantly being, she would die and come back, but she would be reborn back at her original year. She wasn't reborn like the day she died. She would be reborn and start her life over again, and then start her life over again, and start her life over again. So she constantly went through that. And then finally she's like, I'm just going to tell everybody what the hell's going to happen. And then that's what set up this whole new X-Men world. Was her.
Different,
because she like on one life she took Magneto's side, and that didn't work out, and then the next life she took Charles's side, you know, and that didn't work out, and the next one she took, you know, she finally did a whole bunch of different lives, and she's like, wait a second, now the fuck this, I'm just gonna get them all together and say, guys, listen, if you don't follow through, you're all gonna die, or this, you know, something would happen. And that's where that connection came from, and how that story, that's why I thought it was so cool. It's finally her going, I'm done, I'm sick and tired of your shit. So let's be up front right off the bat.
Yeah. Can't wait. I wonder if they'll adapt that some into that new.
No, it'll be a while. It'll be a little bit of time before they do that.
But you know, the X-Men are coming. We've known that for a while. We just don't know when. And I guess they're planting seeds now. It's about the right time to do it too. So.
Yep. Let's see. Marvel. Did you see the announcement about the Marvel announcing a new video game?
Is it the Guardians game?
No, they are going to be doing Midnight Suns Heroes. It's going to be.
Oh, I saw that.
I was like, that's an interesting.
A different.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess. I mean, you could. There's a lot of things you could do with that title. So
yeah, and it's very interesting because you're gonna have Wolverine, you're gonna have Iron Man, you're gonna have Ghost Rider, and I think Blades, and it's like this whole awesome team. And that, yeah, so it's something that they're in the middle of working on. So it's being developed by the Marvel XCOM game, and it's basically a strategy tactic game based. So it looks kind of interesting, which I thought was very weird that they would choose the Midnight Suns.
Well, hey, they got tons of properties they haven't used yet, so why not open them up in a video game format, see if it catches fire. Who knows? It's kind of like that mobile Star Wars game you were talking about earlier, how Steve-O caught on to that.
Yeah.
He started like dipping his toe into other Star Wars stuff. So why not? I'm down for it. I don't have anything else. You see that Matt Ryan's leaving?
Yes. Yes. We talked about
Matt
that.
Matt Ryan. Yeah. He's leaving Legends. Well, the character of Constantine is leaving Legends. He's not leaving. The actor is going to stay and play on some Dr. Davies or something. That's his new character. He's going to play for season 7, I guess, of Legends. But the Constantine character is being written out of Legends, and not totally unexpected. We knew that was going to happen. There's a Sandman series with a sort of Constantine-esque female character on there, and I think HBO Max is doing something with Constantine. So, you know, you don't have too many Constantines running around, so one of them's got to go, and Matt Ryan's was one to go. And he actually played the character for the longest. So, you know, props to Matt Ryan and his portrayal as Constantine.
Well, actually, if you read a little bit further in the article with Matt, he talks about that. Basically, it was his call. He's like, we literally brought this character back because we never had a – he's like, I never felt like I finished the character because, you know, this first season, I think it was cut short too. I don't think it – I don't think it was a complete season.
No.
He's like, I never got to put a book into that character, and here I am – still playing this character 5 years later, and he's like, we have literally done everything with Constantine that we can do, you know, at this point. And so he actually came to the writers and says, hey, I kind of want to be done with him because there's nothing more we really can do. We've kind of touched on him as much as we can, you know, other than really going deep and dark, and you really can't get away with that on CW. You know, that's where the HBO show, I think, is going to be really delve into the real true dark side of Constantine and the Sandman characters.
I wonder if they do the what is that, the Newcastle storyline. They'll probably end up doing that at HBO Max. So I think that's something that hasn't been touched yet, but it's been hinted at tons of times in every video iteration of Constantine. But actually, we saw a form of it in the animated one, I think. But like live action, I would love to see like maybe some flashbacks to that. But as far as CW goes, yeah, he's done. There's nowhere for him to go. He's flying on a spaceship. What's going to do next? By today's he's probably dead. Probably they'll kill his character off, I think.
Well, maybe, or maybe send him off, drop him off into some dark. You know, what was it? What was the Earth for Lucifer? Wasn't that Earth 666 or something?
666.
Maybe drop him off there. Say, hey, I want to go see my friend for a drink. You know, that's where he just walks off and down a dark alleyway. Hey, I got to go see somebody about a drink.
That'd be kind of cool.
You know, or I got to go see somebody about a girl's soul or something like that, you know.
Well, Constantine's never do have happy endings, but that'd be a good ending if he ends up in 666. He's Lucifer. Hey, buddy, what's up?
Yeah.
End it that way. But
I mean, they did make the comment about, you know, them doing that. You know, hey, you need to come by and have a drink. Well, I got to finish this thing first. And
that'd be a cool way to end it. But he's coming back with some weirdo character, so he'll be back next season.
That's good. Well, it's good. I still like to see him, though. Not Constantine, but seeing Matt still doing it.
Man, yeah, he's a good actor.
Also, kind of sticking in the dark realm, if you really want to look into it, Marvel Studios, they're announcing that they're making a Halloween special for Disney Plus, reportedly featuring Werewolf by Night.
Werewolf by
Night. What a great way to bring that character to life, to have a Halloween special. For Disney Plus, I think that would be great to see them bring him in, and another way of introducing all these other characters, because he could just do, like, you know, name dropping throughout the show, and and now you've established that Blade's alive and that Ghost Rider's out there, and you know that the dark world of Marvel exists. You know, we have seen some, you know, we've when you look at Doctor Strange, we've seen it kind of tiptoed in there. You know, of course, we have, you know, Morbius coming out, I think, next year now. So, you know, we do have that world that's there, and just, but I think Werewolf by Night and him making it a special, a Halloween special, I think would be great if they could, like,
I think it's freaking cool.
Yeah. When I read that, I was like, oh man, that would be so fun.
It's a cool way. They're just, why not a Halloween special? Like they had, what, I think the Guardians of the Galaxy Halloween or Christmas special. Is that coming out this year or next year?
I might come out this year. I haven't really seen much about it.
But yeah, they're going to do that. So why not a Werewolf by Light Halloween special?
Yeah, it's Disney. Disney's known for their holiday events. If anybody's, you know, lives close to Disney, they always do these great Halloween events, and they do these great Christmas events. And we've got our friend Cindy. She's always going to these events, and you know, for them. And I think that would be really cool to see, you know, them actually do, like I said, a Halloween one. You know, they did last year. They did the Christmas for Star Wars. So, yeah, I think it would be fun. Also, kind of sticking with the dark world of Marvel. I know you're probably upset about it, but, you know, they released the trailer for Venom a couple of weeks ago, and now it's getting pushed back to release next year.
Oh, boy. it's just crazy.
But I think that they're really pushing Disney right now. I think they're really pushing to, they want to do a live release. They don't want to do the streaming like HBO is planning on doing. So
it's unfortunate they're pushing it back yet again, but I understand why. I get it. They want to make as much money as they can from the film, and with everything that's going on right now with another variant out there, it's just, you know, again, time of uncertainty, unless, you know, I get it.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's weird because, like, HBO is making money and being okay with their shows going out, but they're doing both. They're doing movies and they're doing the streaming service. So they're hitting both things. And HBO is not charging you to watch their new show or their new movie. Disney's charging you $20 per release. And that's, I'm like, how are you not making money? If you're releasing it here on, you know, on your streaming service and you're charging folks $20. And yet, when you see what kind of money Suicide Squad made, it's really kind of makes me scratch my head. I do know HBO's like got some new deal where they're paying and they've gotten the rights, and everybody's understanding they're not going to run into this Black Widow or the Scarlett Johansson and Disney, you know, lawsuit thing going on. They've actually set it up to where they told all their directors or creators or actors, hey guys, this is what we're going to have to do for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm with you there. It's just, I think if Sony had their own streaming service, it'd be different. I think Venom would be on that streaming service. I don't know if they have one or they're going to make one in the future.
Yeah, I thought so. I read something where Sony was trying to work or get in with somebody.
Yeah,
right. So now,
I don't know what they have under that Sony banner that they could do a streaming service. Maybe get somebody else's rights. Who knows? But I get it. Like I said, you want to make as much money as you can, and Venom right now, like with everything going on, you know, have they set a particular date for next year, or is it?
They just pushed it. I didn't see a date on the article about them.
That's unfortunate, man. I was looking forward to it in October. So it's just, you know, this movie was supposed to be released last year. So now you're
gonna was it?
Yeah, I think it was 2020. Oh, it was 2020. It was supposed to be out 2020. And then 2021, now it's 2022, so it's...
Okay, January 21st, 2022 is when they have it set for.
So it's not too far away.
Yeah, so I think they were talking, what were they originally talking, in November? So they pushed it back a couple of months.
As long as it's not like the summer, then you're fine.
So yeah, this looks like this was their fourth delay. So, and actually it was this year. It wasn't last year. It was supposed to be June before getting pushed back to September, September 17th. Then it got pushed back to September 24th. Then it got pushed to October 14th. And then now, no, it wasn't last year. It was this year. It was supposed to come out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm looking at it. Yeah, cause it says this will be the Venom's fourth delay if confirmed. Having the first slated premiere was supposed to be in June, then getting pushed back again, like I said, September 17th, 24th, and then October. So
makes sense. It's not too far away. So
And we're not getting it. It's not like you said. It's not It's not like a Black Widow. You know where
Black Widow was been delayed for 4 years.
Yeah,
there's your issue. I mean, I know what are Scarlett Johansson suing them.
Yeah. And I guess really the last one I have, and the only reason I kind of bring it up, I'm a big fan of them, but AMC's brought out the information that they have done their casting for Interview with a Vampire. It's going to be led by Jacob Anderson and Sam Reed. If anybody knows, Sam Reed is from Waiting for the Barbarians, and he will play Lestat. And then Jacob Anderson, if nobody's familiar with Jacob, he was a Grey Worm in Game of Thrones. He will be playing Lue.
Odd choice.
Very odd choice, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, maybe he'll shock us all, but I don't know. I can't see Grey Worm as Lue. It doesn't
match up to me. You know, Louis's a French,
aristocrat.
Yeah, no, he's not aristocrat. He's a plantation owner. And I just don't see that from him. And I don't see, again, he could surprise us. I don't think it's too difficult to play Lestat, because Lestat's just a pompous ass, and hey, play a pompous ass, and you pretty much will nail it, on the head. But yeah, I am interested. Anne Rice is very, very little involved in this. Her son, Christopher Rice, is like the big part of the production and producer. Him and two other gentlemen are doing the producing and getting this, really made. Christopher's kind of picked up, for his mom. She has gotten up there in age. She still has a say in what's going on and things like that. I think she falls under like a executive producer kind of title, where she's there in name.
She's kind of like laying off the legacy, giving it to the kiddies. Just, let them run it for a while. Like you said, she is getting up there in age. So, why not give it to the kids? It's going to happen anyway. So it'll be interesting to see. Is it a limited series, or is it actually a series?
This is because their talk, that AMC has acquired the screen rights to all 18 of her novels.
So it's probably going to be a long series if they get their way with it.
Yeah, and that includes the Vampire Chronicles and the Lives of the Mayfair Witch. If anybody's familiar with the Mayfair Witches, she does a great expanded universe where she has her books, the vampires and the witches do live in the same world, and they do cross over paths every once in a while, or people that they've interacted with have crossed paths with the other sets of characters. So if they do this, I mean, they can make this massive world, and follow through with that. I think this was an 8 episode, and I think they're going to do season by season. The first season will be Interview. Second season will be The Vampire Lestat. Third season, Queen of the Damned. And we'll actually have them broken up into individual blocks like they would be as in books. The same thing they do, but if you look at The Expanse, the first season of The Expanse was book one. Second season, I think, was book two, and its third season drifted over to book two. So you had to kind of look at that. But the way they do that, even the Wheels of Time book, I think the show that's coming out, I think the season one's going to be book one, Eye of the World, and then I think it will go, second season will be second book and stuff like that. So I think they're going to go that route. I don't think they're going to do all 14 books because some of the books are very small and focused really on one character.
Well, what they might do is combine those short stories into like part of a season arc, maybe.
Well, honestly, all they really need to do is if they're going to introduce, Armand, and he's got a book. He also has an origin book. Just take some little Easter eggs from the book and drop that in there. Then you're done. You kind of give them the time. You don't need to have a full season, about Armand or what's the other one? Vitol. And there's a few other ones that they, that literally the later books were focused on one vampire and one only. And it, again, wasn't these 800 page, books. They were, 500 pages.
Or do one episode.
Or yeah, just do an introduction episode.
Do an introduction like they did in Titans with Red Hood. Well, that whole episode was about him. So just do it that way. And then you could avoid like a season long all about Armand. Yeah.
So Anne Rice, Mark Johnson, and Christopher Rice are actually executive producers. So she, like I said, she is still involved. Now, Christopher Rice on his own has his own great career. He's also a poet. His dad was a poet as well. There's definitely a family legacy there. So, but it's I can't wait to see what they do. I've been looking forward to this. God, this is like 6-7 years ago. I think AMC picked up the rights or something like that, and we've just been waiting for it to happen. AMC's a little slow on the uptake when they get that. But again, what I've always seen on AMC with their products, it's been good.
Yeah. The Walking Dead, the first 4 seasons were really good. Preacher was really good. So
I think they get the product, they really focus on it, they look at it, see how to do it right, and then once it comes out, it's good. And that's why I really hope, being an Anne Rice fan myself, I can't wait to see this.
What happened with Walking Dead is Walking Dead got bigger than the books, and then it like each season kind of went like on a downhill slope after Negan got introduced. That's to me what happened to it. I stopped watching it. Like Preacher was an open ended story. It was like four seasons and the story and they're done, which I love.
And we got a live Arseface. I mean, who wouldn't want that on your TV?
Live Arseface, and you got Hitler in there. I mean,
It was great. And I think sometimes that's what happens when these books come out. They do stick to the source material, and then they sort of get a little bit more creative and get a little bit flary. And the same thing happened with Game of Thrones. You know, again, Game of Thrones never had an ending yet, but the writers kind of just had to work off of what they were given, and the ending went haywire.
Yeah, you got what you got with that one.
But I think with how much Anne Rice and Christopher Rice have their hands in the pots with this, I don't think they're going to go too far off the beaten path.
No, I think it'll probably be more true to the source material.
Because they got burnt on Queen of the Dam. I mean, Queen of the Dam was basically...
Great soundtrack. That's all I'm going to say. Soundtrack was phenomenal.
I mean, I thought the casting was good. I just think the storyline was rushed because they tried to combine two books. And literally, they cut almost half of cut half of Queen of the Dam's book out to cram in the Vampire Lestat, and you really didn't truly get a good origin story of Lestat. You know, you really missed out on who he was and what his character was. And that's why I think these great 8 episode story arcs, if they go with 8, are going to be perfect. I mean, I would wish they would go 13. I didn't see any episode count on that, but I think for this one, a 13 would be even better.
For me, you know what? Yeah, I think I'm starting to be a bigger fan of the 13 episode runs of series right now instead of the 22 or 21 or 20 that you get. 13, I think you're solid. You can tell your story in 13. Shit, Mandalorian tells a story in 8.
Yeah.
So 13 to me is like money.
All right, guys. Well, that is everything we've got. We hope to see you guys a little bit sooner than last time. But keep an eye out and listen for the midnight movies. And so that way we've got, like I said, we've got Batman coming out. This past month, we did our anti-MCU, where we did a whole bunch of anti-MCU movies that were not part of the MCU universe, but they were still Marvel characters. We got to do Punisher and...
And Dolph Lundgren Punisher, yes, and
Punisher, and Blade, and
it was like, fun. Hulk.
Yeah, the Hulk. Yeah, so yeah, a whole bunch of fun movies we did. But yeah, this coming month, it's going to be Kane's month. So we're taking a trip to Gotham, folks.
Yeah, are you going to be in Gotham for a month? Get ready to get gritty and angry, and you know, punch people in front of your turkey necks, man. It's going to happen. Dude. We're in Gotham City for the next month. Get your bat shirts out, light the signal up, because we're going to be there for a while.
Yep, and make sure you guys do hop on our Facebook page. We are there at Heroes Asylum on Facebook, and make sure you guys check us out there. It is starting to really go. We've got a good core group right now in community. It's not too big, but they are very, very much a big community, and they like to interact with folks, and we love to see you guys talking. And there's times I'll pop on there, and I'll see somebody post something, and a whole bunch of other folks are commenting. I'm like, what the hell happened here? Where'd this come from?
Yeah, sometimes the inmates do run the asylum, literally. I will, like, what is this? Like, I don't even remember. Like, then my notifications are turned off, and I'll just read the story. Like, oh, shit, this is pretty good.
So make sure you guys do check out over there, and where else can they find our stuff?
Our stuff, Twitter, at @HeroesAsylum_podcast, Instagram, @TheHeroesAsylum. By the way, I got to start working my social media stuff again. Check out Low Blows and Chair Shots, and check out Midnight Movies. And as always, from Mike to me to you, get to the asylum. We'll see you soon, kids.